This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. In June of last year, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency released a draft set of rules aimed at reducing carbon dioxide emissions from power plants in the U.S. by 30% over the next 15 years. Yesterday, federal regulators finalized that rule, giving the country its first ever CO2 emission standards. But the final Clean Power Plan, as it's known, is actually more ambitious than the 2014 proposal, cutting emissions by 32%. The new rule does, however, give states until 2022 to eliminate reduction plans compared to the proposed implementation date of 2020. Here this morning to discuss the new rule and how lawmakers and others in West Virginia state government are reacting to it is Ashton Mara. Ashton, good morning.
Good morning.
Ashton, let's start with the final rule itself. Under this new rule, states will actually have to lower emission rates even more than initially proposed.
For West Virginia, the proposed rule called for a nearly 20% cut in emissions by 2030. With the change, West Virginia is now being called on to cut emissions by 37%. But the way Janet McCabe with the EPA's Office of Air and Radiation explained yesterday is that there are two reasons why the EPA is now calling for emission reductions of 32%. The first, because national data shows that states are implementing renewable energy production like wind and solar more quickly than the EPA initially anticipated. The second, because in this final rule, the EPA is accounting for energy generation produced regionally and not just by individual states. McCabe says that means there's more opportunity to reduce emissions.
So states will have until 2022 to write their implementation plans and have them approved by the EPA. West Virginia started writing its plan?
Governor Tomlin's communications director, Chris Stadelman, said yesterday that the State Department of Environmental Protection has not started writing an emissions reduction plan because until a final rule was released, states were unsure of what they'd be asked to do. But one thing he did say was the state will write a plan, and that's because it's state law. During this year's legislative session, lawmakers approved House Bill 2004, which requires the DEP to do a feasibility study of the final EPA rule. That study will help them write an implementation plan, which is due to lawmakers in 180 days, or about 6 months. The bill then says that the legislature reserves the right to approve or deny any plan before the DEP submits it to the EPA for approval. Here's Stadelman.
We certainly have been encouraged by some folks, especially in the coal industry, to just say no. Senator McConnell, has pushed that idea. Governor Tomlin has not decided to say, no, we will not submit a plan. We're going to continue the process mandated by the legislature, see what the feasibility is, see what that plan might look like, and then we'll decide down the road what steps West Virginia will take.
Attorney General Patrick Morrissey held a press conference yesterday with some of his fellow Republican attorneys general, happening to be meeting in West Virginia this week, from across the country, saying he plans to fight the EPA's rule legally.
Morrissey announced at his press conference that he and a coalition of states would be filing a lawsuit against the EPA claiming federal overreach. Morrissey firmly believes the EPA does not have the legal authority to impose these limits. He calls it a states' rights issue. Here's what he had to say.
Now, while we're still poring over some of the final details of this regulation, we believe that this proposal is fundamentally and patently illegal. From the time that the preliminary version of this plan was announced last year, it's been very clear that the Obama administration and the EPA intended to step well beyond their legal authority to enforce a very burdensome regulatory regime upon the states. Now, while we're still digesting some of the changes in this final rule, administration officials have, by their own admission, described this new final rule as an even more ambitious attempt to have an aggressive transformation of our domestic energy economy. What this means is that the administration has doubled down on its absolute illegal attempt to transform the EPA from an environmental regulator to a central energy planning authority. That attempt absolutely must be stopped.
What do state lawmakers have to say about the final rule?
So members of the legislative majority, at least, are very much on Morrissey's side, saying they believe the final rules are illegal. I spoke with House Speaker Tim Armstead, and he said the reason lawmakers want the DEP to present that West Virginia's plan to them before they file it with the EPA is that they want to assure the plan does the least amount of damage possible to the state's coal industry. But I did press him on the issue. If a state does not write a plan, if a state simply says no, like Stadelman said some industry reps are pressuring the governor to do, the EPA under this rule has the ability to implement a federal plan in that state. The same is true if the state doesn't plan, if the state plan doesn't meet the federal guidelines. So if it doesn't reduce emissions enough, the federal government can step in. So I asked Armstead, isn't it better for the state to come up with its own plan than to be forced into one by the federal government? And this is what he had to say.
I think these standards are unreasonable. I think they're based on faulty science. And so I think regardless of whether it's the state or the federal government trying to implement them, they are putting people out of work for, I think, a set of standards that really will not accomplish what their stated goal is. But I don't think that we simply say, well, you know, if we don't do it, the federal government will come in and do it. And you know, I think that the fact is that if they implement these regulations, it will have a harmful effect, whether that's the state doing it or the federal government doing it. And I think we need to do what we can do. And our first goal should be to try to fight these and to avoid that harmful effect.
The federal government is giving states options, though, to meet their individual emission goals.
McCabe from the EPA was very adamant that the Clean Air Act, which this rule is filed under, says that the federal government has the right to set environmental standards and then allow states to meet those goals however they see fit. She says that's exactly what they're doing here. One thing the EPA is suggesting, though, is that states work together to come up with regional compliance plans. Some northeastern states are already trying to do that. They didn't have specific details on how that plan would work, though, but it could mean states like West Virginia that produce a lot of power that goes onto the national grid could trade energy credits, so to speak, with states that are not producing much energy. But some government officials say they don't know that that plan will work. First, we'll hear from Stadelman in the governor's office and then Senator Shelley Moore Capito on the regional approach.
I think one of the questions is, what is the incentive for another state that may already be in compliance because they're already using our power? What incentive would they have to give us some of their credits, essentially? And I don't think we know the details about that yet. So is it something that we will explore? Certainly, but I think there's still a lot of questions about how that might work and whether it might help West Virginia.
And there's a regional plan right now in the Northeast. But let's put it on paper here. If West Virginia's 95% reliant on coal, who in the region is going to want a partner? What you're looking for in a partnership is somebody that's going to help you bring your numbers up more evenly. We're going to have a hard time finding a partner, I think. And so I don't object to partnerships, but I think we're in a unique position here to really be challenged.
Ashton Mara, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The story from the other side coming up. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:52. Mostly sunny in the north today. Variable cloudiness elsewhere with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Temperatures in the 80s today. Partly cloudy tonight. A chance of rain and thunderstorms again in the south. Lows in the 60s. Another chance of rain and thunderstorms in the south tomorrow. Temperatures remaining in the 80s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Employer services at wvdrs.org.
Just this past June, a report was released that projects possible scenarios in West Virginia given the proposed clean power plan. Glynis Board revisited the authors now that the final rule is passed, and she brings us this report.
Until this rule there were no national limits for carbon pollution. That's why we
EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy announced the finalized Clean Power Plan in a video online, saying almost 4.5 million comments were taken into account between the proposed rule in 2014 and the final rule released this week.
It will keep energy affordable and reliable. It will steer us towards where the world is going, not looking back at where it's been.
In one of his own video releases, President Obama is calling the Clean Power Plan
the biggest, most important step we've ever taken to combat climate change.
President Obama is looking at his legacy on the issue of climate change. I think he's looking at positioning the United States for the international climate negotiations that are going to be happening in Paris in December.
James Van Nostrand is an associate professor at WVU's College of Law and the director of the Center for Energy and Sustainable Development. Van Nostrand co-authored a report last month that looks at how West Virginia can comply with the proposed Clean Power Plan despite an almost unanimous consensus by state leaders that the EPA's rule would spell certain economic death in a state that relies so heavily on coal production and coal-fired power.
All of the above approaches that were suggesting would lead to compliance are still going to lead to compliance under the final rule.
That's Evan Hansen, the other co-author of the report that details how West Virginia can comply with the new Clean Power Plan. He and Van Nostrand have been carefully considering the options for several years and conclude that West Virginia will be able to meet the federal goals, but they say it will be a painful process. One of the keys to complying that federal regulators are pushing, along with analysts in the state and around the country, are efficiency measures beyond making power plants themselves more efficient. Chemical and biological engineer Jason Barra from the University of Alabama is among those who say incentives to make homes and businesses more energy efficient could play a major role in helping states like West Virginia meet federal goals.
And I think that's a part of the puzzle that is going to be somewhat invisible in most cases. The inefficiency can be built in a lot of ways, but in some ways, to me, that's actually one of the most important parts of this. It's just using what we have in a more efficient manner or developing new technologies that enable us to be more efficient.
West Virginia is one of the least efficient states in the country, according to the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy.
Well, complying with the final rule is definitely going to require changes in West Virginia.
Again, Evan Hansen, president of the environmental consulting firm Downstream Strategies.
For one thing, less coal is going to be burned and less coal is going to be mined, so there will definitely be impacts for coal miners and coal companies. But it's important to recognize that in the scenarios that we looked at, while not quite as much coal would be burned, still about three-quarters of the electricity generated in West Virginia would come from coal. So this is not by any means the death knell for coal.
Hansen also mentions a program within the Clean Power Plan called the Clean Energy Incentive Program. It's designed to incentivize energy efficiency and development of renewable energy in low-income areas.
We don't have the details yet to know what portions of West Virginia might qualify, but this is something that could help soften the blow in West Virginia and help diversify the economy into renewables and efficiency.
The Clean Power Plan sets goals for states individually, but leaves states to come up with the compliance plans. Federal regulators strongly suggest certain compliance options, such as multi-state agreements and interstate trading of carbon credits. Federal regulators also have compliance models in place to guide states or to impose on those states that do not comply in the allotted time frame. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.